Brandon here at the Good Old Gamers Podcast. I wanted to apologize for episode 44 sound quality in advance. Lyle's Craptop decided it would be a fantastic practical joke if it would skip excessively throughout the entire recording. While most of the recording is listenable, some parts will skip and may not make a whole lot of sense. So if you want to power through and give it a listen anyways, right on. Otherwise, just hang on to next week's episode, and we promise we'll have it all sorted out. Sorry again, and thanks for listening.
Do you miss the good old days of skateboarding down to the local convenience store and renting a VHS and car? Well, you'll be happy to know that tonight's podcast is brought to you by Joe Pesci's Fuel Service and VHS.
Hey, Joe Pesci here. I want to tell you about my new business I got going on. I got a convenience store and a motherfucking VHS rental to bring back the golden days of great movies from the 90s. Come on down to the convenience store. You can get your motherfucking pop, your soda, your popcorn, all that shit. Put gas in your motherfucking car. And for every $100 you spend, I will give you a fucking VHS rental at standard price, motherfucker. Our movie store has a very impressive selection. Lots of classic movies. You like Star Wars? Well, fuck you, motherfucker. We don't have motherfucking Star Wars. We got classics such as fucking Casino, Gone Fishing, Home Alone, and its motherfucking sequel, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Don't like that? You can watch The Mafia Turn My Head into Fucking Vapor and Goodfellas. We got tons of the fucking movies all on me, motherfucking Joe Pesci. You bring my motherfucking movies back because our return policy simply states this. You don't return my movie, I break your motherfucking kneecaps. And don't return your motherfucking will to live, you motherfucking mother for you. Be kind, fucking rewind.
It is February 6, 2016, and we're here with episode 44 of the Good Old Gamers Podcast, the number one rated retro game podcast in Alabama, rated by you, the listener.
And ourselves.
And ourselves. I'm Lyle McClendon. I'm here with the lovable but grumpy Brandon Gentry.
Yeah, fuck yourself, everyone.
What a dick.
Especially hard. Long and hard.
Don't even spit on it. Just raw dog it.
That's the only way to do it, baby.
There is nothing but raw dog. Another week, another episode for you. Yep. We're going to go ahead and kick it off with a little bit of news. As I said, it is February 6th. We'd like to wish a happy birthday to Mr. Mewtwo,
yeah,
the freakish creation from Pokemon.
Thank you for being the most overpowered piece of shit on the original Pokemon game.
You dickhole.
Yep.
I noticed on Pokken Tournament, there's a thing that's called Mewtwo Shadow.
Hmm.
It's like a new Mewtwo that appears, like, it shows at the end of the trailer, like, this badass Mewtwo appear in the middle of an arena. And it was like, Mewtwo Shadow or Shadow of Mewtwo, something like that has appeared.
Hmm.
Looks kind of cool.
And to this day, he's still one of the most powerful Pokemon. He's still banned from all tournaments.
He, in Pokemon, the first movie, he was a pretty mean motherfucker.
Yeah, he was.
But he got outwitted by his smaller yet cuter.
I fucking hate Mew.
Mew.
I only used Mew as an HM whore in the video games. Because he can learn any move. So yeah. I just throw all the shitty
HMs.
He's
kind of a cheap Pokemon. That's hence why you don't really fuck with Mew till the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, we thought we'd wish Mewtwo a happy birthday. Because
happy birthday.
His birthday on Red and Blue, the game file, is February 6th. So
he's how old now? 10?
20. Pokemon 20 this year.
Okay, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. God damn, I'm old.
Yeah, dude. Pokemon's fucking 20.
So
just
that means,
let that sink in.
So that means 2 years ago, Mewtwo is legal to do porn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look that up.
Do you think he would just use his mind?
No. He's Annie, so he's going to have a
tentacle.
He's going to have a pecker and a tentacle somewhere.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have, like, nipple pecker. His tail's going to turn into a pecker.
A pecker's out of his butthole.
Yeah. Why not? Fuck it. Pecker's everywhere.
It's a magic trick.
It's just like a medicine ball covered in peckers. Like.
You made that sound god-awful.
Well, it is.
Yeah, it is.
There's no good way to put
that. You're like, well, have you ever been tentacle raped? Another little tidbit I got is something I text you and I text Alex about when I first heard it. Is I thought your dick might get a little Mewtwo-like.
Mother 3.
Yes, there is. Nintendo hasn't officially confirmed it yet, but there are a lot of sources really close to Nintendo saying that the Western market being us, we're going to get a local version of Mother 3.
Yeah, and a lot of it is thanks to Smash Bros. Because people
are getting interested
and
in
Lucas.
That shit. And Lucas, yeah.
Lucas is from Mother 3. And I know a bitch that used Smash Brother fanatics about Bayonetta driving up the price, but thank you for this one. Because, I mean, it's all the players who have been playing with this character and wondering, what the fuck game did this guy come from?
That's sparking interest, yeah. Man. Like, so, that's a good thing.
Yeah, like you said, it's not 100% confirmed, but they'd be dumb not to. It's almost free money.
Well, you know, kind of one of the articles I was reading about it, you know, as sad as it is to say, I mean, Wii U fanboys, Wii U is fixing to be on the way out.
Right.
You know, because NX, there's already big rumors, you know, Nintendo's probably going to unveil NX at E3 this year.
They're shipping this year, so they got to.
You know, and they're saying, like, the idea of going ahead and bringing Mother 3 out on Virtual Console is going to kind of be like a swan song kind of thing for the Wii U. You know, that'd be one of the games that's going to come out that could, you know, still send it off on a high note.
On that note, I want to say that the NX, the Virtual Console shit better transfer over for the NX.
I agree. One thing I'm still really butthurt over about the current Virtual Console status is, like, the Wii had TurboGrafx and Turbo CD games on it.
Yeah.
Don't have that on Wii U, and that really fucking sucks. And you can't get on the Virtual Console on Wii anymore, so all that shit's gone.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Like, I hope they...
They need to up their Virtual Console game, because, Xbox One, got a fucking 360, Xbox One and PlayStation, they've upped their game on that shit. They're way better as far as support goes in that way. Like, still, with the Wii U, your purchases are locked to your Wii U. Like, I can't go to my friend's house and log in on my account and then try out some games.
Yeah.
It's tied to my hardware.
You're tethered to your fucking
You have to
console.
Call Wii, Nintendo customer support if you want to transfer it over to another console. So they need to up their game on that shit, because it's fucking 2016. Every other fucking service in the world works like that. They need to be less worried about fucking piracy, because people who want to pirate are going to pirate it anyways.
I kind of have a little bit of faith in Nintendo's new president a little bit, because he's kind of wanting to try some of the ballsier shit that Nintendo hasn't done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're actually trying to cater this NX console to the older market. And me and Alex had a really good conversation on the phone about this the other day, because he was asking me how I felt about the new president and the fact that Nintendo may trying to shift in an older direction. And my reasoning was, like, I like it because one of the things that Nintendo does now, they sell a lot of their shit on nostalgia.
Yeah.
Hence the Virtual Console, selling old games on a new console. People are nostalgic to play that shit, but the people that are just, like, hardcore nostalgic for, like, 8-bit and 16-bit Nintendo, it's us. Mm-hmm. They're fucking grown up now. And I am grown up, and I do love the old shit, but I am old, and I a lot more grown up things now as well as playing the old cartoonish video games, and they just gotta face facts. Like, if they're gonna grab a fucking foothold in the console video game market, they're gonna have to stop catering to, like, teenagers and kids. Period.
And
families and shit.
I don't think they'll ever stop supporting kids and families.
Oh, no, I don't think so. They need to broaden their library.
Yes.
They need to have more mature oriented games in their library.
They also...
third party needs to be a bigger issue, big time.
And they're also going to have to... I think they're doubling down on this, too, because they kind of did it with the Wii U to a degree. They realized that the Xbox and the PlayStation kind of have the quote-unquote hardcore gamer market, there's not much need to compete there. It's not going to end well for them. They've never been the quote-unquote hardcore console.
They're the niche console, pretty much. Nintendo is, well, now, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess here in America, Sega was, the Genesis was the hardcore console. You know, it had the arcade perfect
blast processing.
Yeah. It was the edgy console. Nintendo was, hey, we're Nintendo. And that's kind of what this continue with. But I don't know. I think they'll do good with it, but I'm still so iffy about that fucking controller, dude.
As I don't want a full touch screen controller at all. Please don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back. You know, of course they're going to be like, if you were to tell Nintendo, well, have you played a game on a fucking cell phone? Well, our technology is going to be better than a cell phone. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, not having a grasp of,
tactile,
like,
feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got to be able to feel a button with your fingers. That's what it boils down to. No amount of screen technology will achieve that.
Well, yeah. Like, what if you don't... You know, I was just trying to fathom. Try playing a fucking Mario game.
Oh, it's
try
miserable.
Playing the first Mario game on it's a touchscreen controller. Like, fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
You're not as precise. You're not as accurate.
Exactly.
Don't do it. I don't mind having, like, buttons and shit and having a huge touch screen, like, in the middle or something. That'd be cool.
Touch buttons are okay in games if it's something you seldomly use. Like, I'll talk about this a little more later, but, like, Xenoblade Chronicles, my touch buttons are buttons I rarely use. So I look down on my screen, I'm like, oh, I'll pull up the map, and I'll do this and that. Fine. But for something you need Twitch reaction for, like in a platformer, touch buttons.
You need that reaction where if you get close to an edge, running off an edge and falling to your death, you can be able to. Because that's one way, like me speed running Mario, you got to be able to flip Mario backwards really fast to certain jumps and shit.
And you got to know where your buttons are by
precisely
pure mechanical means.
They tried doing shit back in the NES and SNES era. I don't know if you remember it, but they had this controller that came out called Turbo Touch 60. I bought one from Walmart when I was a kid for NES, and we returned it. It had a touchpad D-pad. It was hexagon shaped and flat.
Yeah,
dude, it was so fucking impossible to be accurate with it.
Yeah,
you know, like Mario, you'd go to turn and to clear a gap, and by the time you roll your finger back to the left-hand side to flip him backwards, he'd keep going to the right from your, you know, pressing the right button.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Period.
And it's a similar analog, which this is a little off base, but it's almost like mouses versus control sticks for first-person shooters. I remember reading an article sometime ago that Microsoft tried with one of their first-person shooters to do a combined server with console and PC players, and they canned it because even the shittiest ranked PC players trounce the pro players on console because of the mouse. It makes that big of a fucking difference. And it's kind of similar.
Well, it's way easier to, like, I started out with Unreal Tournament shit on computer.
Yeah.
And, like, aiming with a mouse is so much easier than having to roll your fucking thumbs to aim. Just you point and click. Simple as that.
Yeah. And it's almost a similar, it's a microcosm, I'd say, to touchpad versus tactile. You just got to be able to input your fucking controls. You're playing a game. You can't do it with your mind.
And that's true.
Yeah.
PlayStation 9 isn't out yet.
Yeah.
You remember that commercial?
Vaguely, yeah.
Dude,
they had a lot of weird commercials back then.
He had the PlayStation 9, he would huff the little nanobots, and he was in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I think that happens when you huff spray paint, dude. not speaking from experience or anything.
Yeah, I worked with a guy that nearly drowned while huffing gasoline, and I think he's been Mario in that meantime.
Oh, God. There you have it, kids. Don't huff shit. It's bad for you. Doom release date got dropped.
13th, May 13th.
Pretty excited.
I am. I'm going to say, though, I'm not going to buy it at release. Just because I don't buy games that release hardly ever anymore.
You'll probably get to come over to my house and play it.
If it's going to be on a console, I'll watch it. I don't know if I'm going to play it any. Like I said, mouse. Gotta have a mouse.
Well, fuck your butt.
Please.
What you got to talk about?
So you done covered a couple of my things.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's cool. By the time this podcast drops, there's only be like one day left on it. But there's the Steam Lunar New Year sale. It's a brand new sale that they're starting. There's a lot of good sales on it that I can't participate in because I can't buy another game until I've played my entire library. Fucking thanks, audience. Thanks, podcast.
One of our fans, I noticed, Michael McDonald. Is that it?
McDaniel, I think.
McDaniel, I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir. But I noticed he posted about that Steam sale, yo, and you're like, horse cockery of the highest order.
It is. I can't fucking buy shit. I keep to my word on shit.
If I had a computer capable of playing Steam, I would buy some shit.
But oh, hell yeah. But
I'm in that dead zone.
You know, I want to buy new games just because there's good deals, but to be realistic, there's only good deals on these same games. They're only going to get cheaper as time goes on. And I've got enough, at the rate of a game a week, I've got enough unplayed games to feed the podcast content for like 2 years.
Nice.
So, I mean,
Steam is going to be going on for a while then.
Yes. And, you know, I'll celebrate when I get to the point where I've played fucking everything and I'll buy some games and start over.
Nice.
You know, I'm working on getting a house and the mortgage and all that shit. So my finances are in like a soft freeze. I'm not spending money on shit. So it's a good way to keep myself from blowing money on shit. I don't
understand. That's kind of, I've done some trading for some games here recently, but.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
My dog decided to scratch himself for recording.
I think he's on meth. He's scratching himself
pretty
hard.
He's twitching pretty hard. I wish people could see this, so they just didn't think we're talking about a fictional dog.
I noticed on the virtual console now, Bayonetta and Corrin are on Smash Brothers now.
Yeah, that was you had one of mine, DLC.
I was this close to buying Bayonetta, but I'm just going to wait until after I get all this shit done, and I'm going to buy all the DLC characters at once. You can buy them all now for like $35. It's cheaper that way. I'll just get them all in one go later. I'm definitely getting the Bayonetta amiibo eventually. I think it comes out in a couple months. Just because, what other Bayonetta figures am I going to get?
Alex got Bayonetta, and he said it was pretty cool because when she does one of her super attacks, she almost gets naked.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, it's pretty racy for a Smash Brothers game.
Even though I watched it, and it's not nearly as revealing as the game, but I understand my kids play this game. This is a teen-rated game, or mature, whatever Bayonetta's rated.
Bayonetta's M-rated.
M-rated, yeah. Smash Bros. Is a teen. There's a few, like, scantily pixels that cover Bayonetta in the actual game. She's, like, in lacy things in Smash Brothers.
You fight better like that.
You do, yeah.
Absolutely. You're more agile.
Like, you know, the old chainmail bikini thing, you know, it works better.
Yeah, I mean, look at Leia. Yeah. She choked the shit. She killed Jabba the Hutt in that. Yeah.
She's practically naked.
Yeah.
She got +1 strength off that.
Hell yeah. She did. Her integrity was -4, but it's okay. Her. Ghostbusters is now available on Lego Dimensions.
I've read some bad things about that game.
I'm interested just for the simple fact that Ghostbusters in it.
It's time to live the high life.
That was the crack freshness. Here's a little news for you. We're drinking again.
We're always drinking.
Yeah. Not all the time, just when we record. Or
yeah, that's what I tell people.
Me too. Don't think down of us.
This isn't vodka coffee cup. Yeah, my stepson was really interested in that game, and I told him.
All it is fucking.
It's DLC.
It's Skylanders and DLC. Those Lego packs are like $20 a piece.
Yeah.
It's a little more expensive than that other shit.
And I've told them, you know, if you got the option of getting a game or buying a toy, you can opt for this Lego shit instead, but I'm not investing personally into it because it's a ripoff. And it's got bad reviews because the Skylanders is a ripoff. Lego Dimensions, from what I've read, is way more of a ripoff. They limit your gameplay way more and charge more to unlock it. The concept is cooler. Because I like Legos more than Skylanders. I like the different universes you can access more than Skylanders. But the fucking Skrilla, man. The fucking money.
I've heard, believe it or not, I've heard some good things about Disney Infinity. I've heard the Star Wars Disney Infinity stuff's pretty badass.
I've heard mixed things on that, too.
It's still, it caters back to the DLC because it's just like the amiibo thing and everything else, like, which I like them as much shit as I've talked about it. I do like the amiibos a little bit because it's like owning a fucking statue.
Well, yeah, I'm 100% like them for the collectability because there's some statues of things you couldn't get before,
yeah,
like Ness and Lucas and, you know, Bayonetta, things like that. Even the ones, they just look good.
I love my Link one, but I love the 8-bit Mario.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cleverly designed. I wish they would do 8-bit
Link.
The
yarn Yoshis look really good.
The yarn Yoshi is badass. I've considered buying that Woolly World, which I've heard that game's really good.
It is. I'm going to get it from, mainly my little girl's really interested now, so I'm eventually going to get that. But,
I do have Twilight Princess pre-ordered with the...
Oh, yeah, with the Wolf
Amiibo. The Wolf Amiibo.
Yeah.
Pretty pumped.
I was going to say something, but I'm trying to think of what it was. Oh, yeah, we're both the Amiibos and the Skylanders-type games. They've all missed the mark by a little bit. More so the Skylanders games. What they need to do with the Skylanders and Infinity and LEGO Dimensions, which there's an asterisk beside Infinity and Dimensions. I haven't played the games personally. I've only read information. But you buy the game, and there's game physically on the fucking disc that's locked to you unless you go spend more fucking money. I think that's horseshit. I think you buy the game, you have everything on the fucking game. What they need to do is give you the full fucking game, and then later on, like, hey, here's new DLC, and you don't have to buy it online. You go to the store and buy the figure, and it comes with it. It unlocks it.
That would be...
And
that would be more incentive too to like actually go and buy that shit, you know, like buy the amiibo or the figurine. Whatever.
And I wish the amiibos did more shit like that because they do so very little in any game that if you're only in it for the content, they're not worth it. That's why they're 100% for the collectability. They look cool. They look cool on display, and their figures are shit you normally couldn't get figures of. So they both need to up their game in that. Like Bayonetta and all the Smash Brothers DLC. I think if you buy Evo, you should get the fucking character in Smash Brothers.
I agree, because you're having to pay fucking... Like, what's a single character on Smash Brothers?
$6, $5 or $6 if you want just the characters.
And then the Amiibo is $13. You're spending $20 to get all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, make it fucking reasonable. And the thing is, too, you know, they market the shit to kids, but these aren't... It's the same way they did.
Oh, kids don't buy Amiibos.
Kids aren't buying the shit. Their parents are buying them.
Well, I mean,
people
even
like
Amiibos.
Us are buying,
kids don't. Well, most kids don't give a fuck about Amiibos. They like the Skylanders and shit because that's more their age group. Me and you, we like Mario. We're more likely to buy a Mario statue. We like Link. We're more likely to buy Link. Kids these days don't really have that.
It's the
that
older
pull.
Crowd that's
yeah.
catered to the nostalgia, like we was talking yeah. about earlier.
Now, you got anything for news?
The last bit of news we're going to leave everybody with.
One more bit, too.
Okay, so. Well, you do yours, because I want to do this one last.
Okay. Mine, there's a Counter-Strike player, goes by the handle Android L. He turd-tricked over 3,000 players into getting in by Valve for cheating. So what he did is he released a hack program that pretty much intentionally flagged them to get banned. So... I was wondering why this hasn't happened yet.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yes, it is. So, a big kudos to this guy. More of this shit needs to happen, because nothing will piss you off more in a game than hackers. And nothing gives shitty players an excuse to stay shitty than hackers. Because I've met so many people online who are not good at the game, and rather than reflecting on themselves, trying to get better, they blame hackers. If you kill them, you're a hacker. You know, everyone yeah. in the game's cheating but them. That's why they're not good. They're being held down by cheaters. And it's fucking horseshit. A very small minority pick hack in most games. And it just gives them fuel to...
It's just an excuse to be like, I'm not a shitty video game player.
It's just like the we all know a guy who every time they die, they yell, lag, or shitty controller, or they make fucking excuses.
I know a lot of people that blame it on the game controls, and I'm like, look... The game controls have not fucking changed since the last you played it till now.
Yeah.
You're just, it's called poor performance, motherfucker.
Yeah. This is something I've taught mostly to my stepson a lot. Don't make excuses for your failures, because the only thing that's going to do is make you...
Admit your failures and get
yeah.
better,
yeah.
so you don't fail again.
Every time I die in a game, I'm like, I you know, sometimes I'm like, fuck, that sucked.
But oh, I get mad and shit, but...
I'll stop thinking about what did I do wrong. Because there's no situation that you couldn't do nothing. Your death might have been inevitable in a certain instance, but what did you do to put yourself in that situation, you know? There's always things you can do to improve yourself. Getting pissed and making excuses will not improve.
It'll make it worse.
It does. It makes you satisfied with your poor performance, and you just blame it on everyone else. I hate accusators in these games.
Yeah. It's just like when I used to actually play first in shooters, like one of the things I'd get a lot of people in their head or something. Nice.
Yeah.
Watch that beer just roll down you. But, you know, it's like, well, we'll just say, for example, Modern Warfare 2. That was one of the last games I was real big on that. Running around and shooting people. You kill some fucking camper.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck
you
is that?
You kill them in their hidey hole and you're the camper.
Yeah, no shit. You run. I'm like, you're the one that was fucking laying on your belly beside the bed in the upper bedroom. Like, not me. I run up in there and shotgun your ass.
See, with my experience in first-person shooters, I got to where I fucking love campers. People bitch about campers. I fucking love them because I know where they are.
Yeah.
That's an easy kill.
Where they are, you keep your fucking kill-death ratio pretty fucking level. And the chances are, the people that camp really hard, they all go back to the same fucking spot.
Right. Or there's one of a handful of spots on a different map. They're fucking guaranteed kills almost because you know where they're going to be. That's half the battle in first-person shooters is knowing where they are. Because with your Call of Duties and Battlefields, you die in less than a second now. It's not like a new tournament where you had a few seconds to where you had to kill either. I prefer those games. The person with the better...
There's more tactical edge to it.
Yeah. In the older games where you live longer, people will think, oh, that's pussy mode because you live longer. No. That just means that the person who got the jump has an edge, but the person with the better aim is still probably going to win out. These new games is whoever sees the other one first wins.
That's one thing I really complained. Like, I know a lot of people are loving Black Ops 3, and I actually wanted to try it because I actually enjoyed Black Ops 1 and 2. Not multiplayer, so I mean multiplayer, but not like free for all. I like the like gun games, like one in the chamber. You know, it was like Golden Gun on GoldenEye.
Yeah.
One shot, one kill. You get one bullet. You hit somebody, you get a bullet back. That bullshit. Well, I wanted to try Black Ops 3, so I did try it. Nothing motherfucking did it. I could run right up on somebody that's as close as me right now and fucking shoot them in the face. It seems like five or six times they would shoot me like once. And it was like, killed, dead. And I'm like, who in the fuck, who programmed the collision detection on this shit? Like,
usually, if it's online,
what the fuck is this?
If it's online, it usually comes down to lag. And what you find in a lot of instances, you'll both die. It's fucked up, but lag has a lot to do with this weird, funky shit. And it's also why people scream hacks when it's really just the shitty lag compensation. Valve's done it the best, in my opinion. They have, they've kind of split it between the typical server-based lag compensation, which results in the weird instances like you just described, and in local client side. So it's kind of a double check. It's a little more server intensive as far as resources go, but... They got it the best because you play a TF2 or Counter-Strike, you don't hardly ever encounter those situations. A lot of other games, that's a big problem.
People need to get their shit straight, get that shit fixed. That's the bottom line.
But did you have closing news?
I did.
Go for it.
It has nothing to do with video games, but it was so profound I felt like the world should know it. Apparently... Charlie Sheen has been cured of HIV with goat's milk.
Has nothing to do with all the AIDS medication he's been taking that reduces your viral count to undetectable levels. It's the goat's milk.
It is the goat's milk. It's organic. It's probably from Peru or somewhere. But
I fucking hate pseudoscience so fucking much.
I wanted to bring that up because I felt like it echoed back to one of our fallen segments of yesteryear, Rage Rants.
God damn it. I hate pseudoscience so fucking much because it dupes people It's harmful. People are like, oh, what's the harm if, you know, if someone wants to spend their goddamn organic goat's milk? Because it kills people. People fucking die from this. These shucksters that
sell, money you're spending on bullshit, you should be trying to spend toward actually getting a viable medicine that has been known.
It's snake oil.
Proactive.
That, like, fucking David Avocado Wolf on Facebook. Don't fucking share his shit. I don't give a shit if you like fucking the messages in the meme. Don't fucking share it. He's the guy who suckers people in with meaningless goddamn platitudes and then talks to your fucking grandparents into giving up chemo in favor of his god coconut oil. It's fucking horseshit.
Rage rant has returned, I do believe. Nice. Do you feel better?
I do and I don't. Because people are still going to do this shit. It's harmful because it talks people who don't have the intellectual wherewithal into dying, basically. Giving their money to some huckster, stakeholder.
A fucking witch doctor.
Yeah. You know, the science is verifiable. It's not perfect because it's provisional, bunker. But, you know, the pseudoscience people, they're always like, oh, well, it's a conspiracy. They're just trying to sell you poison, blah, blah, blah. Science is the one that says, we don't know 100%, but here are our experimental results. The pseudoscientists are like, we know 100%, this is the cure because reasons. Because my fucking, some fucking anecdote, you know, my second cousin fucking drank this goat's milk and he's no longer autistic or some shit like that. It's fucking disgusting. I hate it. And where it gets really disgusting is when children get involved. Because, you know, to a degree with adults, I can be like, you know what? Social Darwinism. You fucking deserve to
stupid
die.
Stupid people will vaporize themselves.
Yeah,
really.
But children don't have a choice in it.
Yeah.
So,
that comes into shitty parenting.
Yeah.
Like, big time. That's a whole other rant.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't want to get us too far off video games anymore.
Oh, man, I did have one more little thing wrote down. This is about video games. And it'll be brief because it's fucking bizarre. Apparently there's an Indiegogo in place. This company has come up with a VR sex controller that you plug into your computer and put your dick into. And it has a cleanage and drainage system.
It's plumbed.
It's plumbed. Exactly. But you put your cock into this thing, and you pretty much fuck a virtual anime doll. Apparently, this Indiegogo has only been up for a few days and is very close to reaching its quota. Thank you, humanity, for fucking beguiling me again. So that was actually, I guess, the closing news. But
when this
if you drink goat's milk, you don't have to worry about getting HIV from your VR sex controller.
For sure.
Your friends come over and fuck it.
Oh, shit. Ugh. You know, I don't normally do this, but one of my friends on Facebook, well, he's not just a friend on Facebook, he's a friend from real life. He shared a picture of my timeline just now. For any D&D players, we'll get a kick out of it. It shows a picture of a squirrel that's been roadkilled. And a guy crouching over it, angrily blowing a trumpet at it, and it says, "It's time for Bard Hills." Look at it. It's fucking amazing. yes.
We need to probably share that on the page so everybody else can get a good chuckle out of it. That's ingenious.
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, that concludes this episode's news segment. Here's a little more news for you, I guess. We're going to do Vault's Game of the Week.
Yep. David called in.
About time his bitch ass called us.
Hey, this is David at Vault Games. Our Vault Pick of the Week is from the God Hand on PS2. It's a 3 action game where you have over 100 attacks, different enemies to approach, and what happens is certain ones actually become demons, so you use your power to kill them.
Shit, okay. Nice.
Goddamn,
I haven't played it, so I don't know anything about it.
I suggest that he plug this game. They got it down there. And if I get my moving and mortgage situation sorted out before anyone buys it, I'm fucking buying it. So you better get your fucking hands on it, people, because it's about to be mine.
You better go buy it before Brandon does. Yeah.
It's Capcom polygonal beat 'em up. You know,
oh, full it's 3D. A Capcom beat 'em yes. up. I didn't know that.
That's full cool. 3D polygonal. It's very culty. When it came out, a lot of places gave it really bad reviews. Like IGN gave it a 3 out of 10. But then later on, they listed it in their top 100 PS2 games of all time.
Well, that's IGN for you.
Well, yeah, but a lot of this was just typical of them. This is a lot of places. They gave it a shitty review, and then they realized, hey, this game was intentionally bad. This is like a cult classic type thing. The gameplay is not bad. Don't get me wrong there.
If it's something you're going to buy, I have a little faith in it.
Yeah, it's a great beat 'em up. One thing I like about it is... One of the buttons is a situational button or something like that. It's basically, you'll beat the shit out of enemies, and sometimes a special attack option will pop up, and you press this button. Sometimes you gotta mash the fuck out of the button. You'll do all kinds of different special moves to them, varying on the situation. There's a lot of old school wrestling moves. Like, you can suplex them, you can fucking powerbomb them, pile drive them, shit like that.
That's cool.
And it's all like cartoony, like super fast, repetitive, beat him in the fucking face over and over and over like 100 fucking times.
Very arcadey.
Yes. The story in the game is basically you're a guy and you hold the power of a god in your right hand. That's why it's called God Hand. And it's almost very Trigun and anime.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very...
Does it have that Capcom flavor to it?
Yes, and it's very, very fucking campy, but awesome. All the bad guys are like just classic fucking tropes. A couple of the mini bosses I liked, it's a pair. Flamboyantly homosexual guys wearing almost nothing, and you fight them both at the same time. It's fucking hilarious. Nice. And the game, I can't say the game, it's fucking amazing. Where it got a lot of points away from it was the story and the voice acting. But again, it was intentionally bad. This is like, you know, we're making a B game, you know, and we're going to do it good. And I don't think back then they the review was that. That wasn't done a whole lot back then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not done a whole lot, but back then it was especially new and unseen. So that people are like, oh, this game fucking sucks. Listen to this voice actor. I'm like, nah.
It's supposed to be a cheesy yes. piece of shit.
Yes, it's so cheesy.
It's a grindhouse video game.
Yeah.
With better production.
One of the reviews I read the headline for said, this game is terrible, and I can't explain why I can't stop playing it. Like, it, but it's amazing like that. So much is over-the-top, crazy humor in it, and like I said, it's very anime-ish. Just nothing about it, it's just your typical shit.
You sold me on it. I'm writing it down because I might have to... locate me a copy
as he mentioned
it.
Too some of the bosses in the game turn into big ass demons and you have to beat them
like the big boss battle kind of deal.
Yeah. Nice. And usually from what I remember I beat the game. I made a good ways through it back when I had a hacked PlayStation and I burned games for it. You'd fight these main bosses a few times in the human form and eventually in the story they would turn into their demon form and it'd be a tough fucking battle. Great fucking game overall.
That's one cool thing that Capcom's always been known for is those huge, memorable boss battles.
Yeah, yeah. And they did a good job. I've never been a huge Capcom fan. Not saying I didn't like them, I just never had a massive boner for their games.
I'm a Capcom fanboy. Yeah.
So this might not hold a whole lot of weight from someone like me, but that's my favorite Capcom game.
Nice. And it's Vault's Game of the Week.
Yeah, go down to Vault and get it before I go buy it.
As always... They got everything old and new. Check them out.
Yeah.
They'll hook you up. They don't have it. They can find it for you.
That's where I've been going to get my games of the week here recently. I'll go down there and I'll find
That's
something.
That's where my game of the week this week has come from, too. So, win-win. Well, now that's out of the way, we going to do a new segment. I'm going to do What's in Your Hands.
Do you really want to know what's in my hands?
I can smell what's in your hand.
It is pungent.
It is.
Stings the nostrils.
Stings. A very pungent aroma.
It smells like a burnt diaper filled with... a used diaper filled with
Indian food. Well, I can tell you, the game on my What's in Your Hands not does not smell like that. It smells like pure awesomeness. Taking it back to the original Game Boy tonight. What, you had a smirk? What,
I was going to say my Angry Man.
Oh.
The movie makes me laugh.
Quite possibly one of the funniest movies ever made.
Yeah.
Not quite possibly, it is.
Definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
I didn't care for the sequel that much.
Yeah, it was okay.
Funny.
It's palatable.
But it was nowhere near as intense as the first one.
Yeah.
Anywho, taking it back to the original Game Boy tonight, we're going to be talking about Metroid 2 Return of Samus.
Nice.
I first come across this game when it did release. Me and my grandpa, we used to go to Kmart a lot. And Kmart used to have a really gnarly-ass Nintendo section. The one in Coleman.
Oh, yeah, and this is one of the few places you go put your hands on a Game Boy. They have the nice little display.
Indeed. Well, the first game for Game Boy I ever got, other than Tetris, of course, was Super Mario Land. My grandpa carried me to Kmart one day. He went in there to get something. I don't remember what it was. And he just carried me in the back and was like, let's pick you out a new Game Boy game. You need something new. And they had Metroid 2 in. So, of course, I zapped it up. I had Metro on NES. Didn't know what the fuck I was doing the entire time I played it, but I was like, it's a cool game, you know? I always like games where you explore shit.
Yeah.
So I picked up Metroid 2 Return of Samus. It's a really odd sequel, being that the first game was on NES and the sequel was released on Game Boy.
That was my first exposure to Metroid.
Really?
I didn't know the Nintendo one existed until after I
had. So you thought Metroid was actually a Game Boy game, probably, too.
Nice. Yeah, initially that's what I thought. I remember at the end of it, it was such a big deal. You saw the 8-bit Samus in the bikini, and it's like, oh my god, it's a girl.
It's a chick. She's half clothed.
If you look at the pixels cross-eyed, it looks like she might be naked.
Just blur your eyes and pretend. Anywho, like I said, it's the second installment of the Metroid series, and this is the first handheld appearance of Metroid. The story, you follow Samus, of course, and she's sent on a mission to kill all the Metroid creatures from a home planet before the evil space pirates, you know, their whole plans get to the Metroid and use him as weapon. The typical alien formula: get the xenomorph, use it for your own bidding.
Yep.
But the gameplay is just like Metroid, pretty much. Different palette, because you're on Game Boy, of course.
Yes.
You don't have the colors yet. It was developed by Nintendo Research and Development, R&D 1, and was actually produced by Gunpei Yokoi, who did the first Metroid, and he was very, very pivotal in the Game Boy, like 100%. Anywho, it plays, I'm trying to describe it for the people. It plays just like Metroid.
Well, not everyone's playing Metroid. How does it play?
It's a side-scroller. You advance through the game using different weapons and items you find. You know, it's the typical video game format. You come to a wall, you can't get past. Go find the missile, come back, and destroy the wall. You know, all that shit. You're given a detector. Hold on just a second. Okay, sorry about that. There was some sort of interference.
It's
we were
UFOs.
Picking up. Yeah.
The jet fuel was melting steel beams.
They actually had some Metroids descend upon the house and be like, play Zero Mission. Anyways, what I was trying to talk before, I just got completely befuddled because I heard that shit start pulsing in my headset. But,
Wait. 2 hours have passed. We've lost time, Lyle. We've been abducted.
Oh my god, we have. What's this weird thing sticking out of Uranus?
Oh no.
Oh, it's a satellite dish. Anyways, Metroid 2 is an action-adventure game. You play as Samus. It's a side-scroller. You progress through the game using different weapons to kill a fixed... There's like a set number of Metroid creatures, set number of bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Once you beat all the creatures to a certain point, this earthquake occurs, and, like, the lava... You start out on a planet that's got, like, lava levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lava's bad. You can't walk in lava. You can't duck and cover and fend from lava.
Yes.
So
typically.
Yeah. But once you kill a certain level...
But lava's all natural, lava. I've heard that all natural's good for
it's
you.
It's organic. Lava cures any disease that you put to it.
If you
it burns the disease. It vaporizes disease.
If you drink a gallon of lava, you're not going to die from cancer.
No.
You're not going to die from AIDS.
You're going to have far worse problems. You're going to die from melting from the inside out. I would...
I would gladly
pay somebody to lava overdose. If you're stupid enough to do it, I'll pay you to do it.
Lava colon cleanse.
Lava enema. Ugh. Fuck that.
But yeah.
Anyhow, the earthquake occurs and the lava levels actually drain, opening up tunnels that you can progress further into the planet. The Metroids that you meet in this game are different from in the fact of the original Metroid, because you meet a bunch of different ones in different evolution cycles.
Like, so they're not all jellyfish?
Yes. This is the first game that hints that out of the jellyfish stage, they grow into like a giant lizard-like creature, which you end up seeing later on in Super Metroid, because it sets the stage up for Super Metroid completely. The Metroid creatures, though, they have different stages, and they have their original form, which is the jellyfish, Alpha, Gamma, Zeta, and Omega, being Omega being the giant lizard creature, you know, I was just talking about. The more developed the organism is, the stronger its attack is, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger the baddie it is. Pretty much, you got save modules that are located all around the planet that you have to reach. So it kind of has that element of if you fucking die before you get to one, you're kind of fucked. Because you're starting back at the last save point.
Yep.
And some of the save points are very few and far between. Not all of them, but they're like when you get in about the middle stretch of the game.
At the same time, save points on a Game Boy, fucking godsend.
Yeah. No shit. Like, yeah. Because the majority of the Game Boy games you play, Super Mario Land, like, to this day, I don't give a fuck how badass of a console Mario player you are. Play Super Mario Land.
Oh,
The difficulty, just from the fact that of where it starts you back at, which the old Mario games do that too, but you have to start A or B button cheat and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You don't have that. But, one thing that's a plus to the Metroid 2, it has two new weapons that are, like, completely new to the series. Has, like, a laser beam that splits into three. It's like a tri-splitting beam, I think is what it's called. And then they have the plasma beam, which passes through enemies like when shooting, kind of like in Super
Almost
Metroid.
Almost a flamethrower.
Indeed. You can only equip one beam at a time, so, you know, it comes in handy in more areas than the other, of course. You can, you have, like, there's a new enhancement called Space Jump that'll let you, like, jump infinitely across, like, it helps you reach areas otherwise that you couldn't reach from your standard jump.
Yeah.
Typical video game, leveling up kind of stuff. It came out in 91, so it's an older Game Boy game. It's for original Game Boy, so...
Yeah.
You can get it on... it's on Nintendo 3DS's Virtual Console still. So you can pick it up on there. It's a good one. It's a classic. I can't just...
One day I'm going to play the Metroid games, like, completely. I've dabbled with them a couple times, but I've never played them. It's like Castlevania for me. I need to play through them.
I've beat Metroid and Metroid 2, Return of Samus. I have never beaten Super Metroid, though. And that's one that I want to mark off my list. Definitely. Because I haven't done that yet. That's about all I can say about it. It's got some great music for a Game Boy game. That's another thing. It's got some... Like, some of the music that plays, like, when you're in the tunnel stretches, it's very haunting. You know...
Metroid's always been good about that.
Yeah, that's one thing. It continues the You know, people bitch about the graphics because it is on Game Boy, but even for Game Boy, it's great graphics. Like,
yeah,
it's playing the.
There's only so much you can do on a Game Boy.
It's literally playing the NES one without color. That's it.
That's good.
It's fucking wonderful, and it's fairly cheap. I think you can pick it up for like probably $10-15 at the most now, maybe 20.
Sweet.
I don't know. So I recommend it. It should be in your hands. Take your cock out of your hands and buy Metroid 2 and put it in your Game Boy and put that in your hands.
And then put your cock back in your hands.
Your wife,
play your
family,
Game Boy with your cock.
Your palms. They'll appreciate it. Make it happen.
Yeah.
For sure. So we're going to talk about our topic now, right?
Yeah. This week we brought y'all some games of the week. Because we are collaborating currently on a Shenmue episode, which should be next week.
Shenmue's coming next week, so we're going to school. I got very disappointed. Just a little side note about Shenmue. I got very disappointed the other day. I was playing in public at our good friend's Vault's place. And I had quite a few people ask me what I was playing that claimed to be pretty legit gamers.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of bummed me out because I'm like, God, nobody knows what the. Not everybody was like that. You know, a few people generally just casual people walked up, but I know a few people, not naming any names, of course, that just claimed to be hard up about gaming and they had no idea what the fuck I was playing. And it saddens me. I just feel like more people in the world should know about Shenmue.
Yeah.
Which we're going to enlighten you next week, so.
Yep.
But anywho, we're just going to talk about some games of the week. And I'm going to let you start because you really disheartened me with what you told me.
Oh, yeah. My game of the week is a PlayStation 2 game. Nice. I picked up at Vault Games. Go shop Vault Games.
Go there right now. Forget your family and forget friends and friends. Go down there. Spend money.
Do you have a paycheck? You shouldn't. Spend it at Vault Games.
Got responsibilities? Well, fuck those. Buy games at Vault.
Getting an income tax return, Vault Games. They're right beside Liberty
return
Tax.
Return your money to Vault Games.
They're right beside Liberty Tax. Get your check. Spend it at Vault Games.
And then go down to the Bible store to buy a book to repent for what you've done.
Yes.
Oops.
Anyways, my PlayStation 2 game of the week is The Legend of Spyro, A New Beginning. I'm not the most savvy Spyro player, because I've dabbled in the old ones.
I had Spyro 1, and Emerald's got Spyro 2.
I've always enjoyed the old games.
It's good platforming.
For those who don't know,
fun,
this is the first reincarnation of the Spyro games.
It's a reboot, right?
Yes.
Kinda, technically?
It is. The first Spyro game, Spyro was a kid. And he still kind of is, but he was very much a child. You could tell from the voice acting.
He was little Simba, and now he's big Simba.
This game plays a little differently from the other ones. The main difference is the old Spyro games kind of had an open world element to them. This one's a lot more linear, but it's not bad. It delivers on story to make up for it. Of course, with Spyro, you have Spyro the Dragon, who is a fledgling dragon. You got Sparks, which is the Dragonfly sidekick. In the old games, he was like your life meter. He changed colors. And that was your life. In this game, he works more like a Navi from N64.
Hey!
Yeah. He was your targeter. You target an enemy, and he hovers over them and things like
that.
I
remember that.
Yeah.
Do you still collect gems in this one?
Yes. And you level up your breath and stuff like that.
That's cool.
For those who are completely unfamiliar with Spyro, they are polygonal, 3D platformer / adventure games where you play as Spyro the Dragon. For those who are incredibly new to it, this is what the first Skylanders game and
what it spawned from.
Yeah,
Spyro
Skylanders Spyro's Adventures. It was they kind of started that series with intentions of making a Spyro game, and then it just exploded into something completely different.
If you remember anything about the original PlayStation era, it's kind of similar to Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, it is. It is
a lot.
It's something that saddened me. And one of the things that prompted me to get this game is when I was playing the original Skylanders game with my stepson, and he said, "Why is this game Spyro's Adventure? Spyro isn't that great of a Skylander." I'm like, oh my God.
What?
Yes.
What?
This injustice will not stand.
The hell, you say?
He didn't understand why I always picked Spyro, even though he wasn't necessarily the best Skylander.
But he didn't understand who Spyro was.
Right. Yeah, and I was like, this injustice cannot stand. You're going to know who Spyro is. So I got this game.
Listen, son, that's dumb as hell.
I can't give him shit for it. I know when he's born.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
He's a child.
Yeah.
It's okay. Now, if you were playing with me, I would have completely expected you to be like, you fucking dumbass.
Oh, man. It has the same cartoony graphics that the original Spyro games does, so that's a big plus. It aged very well because of that. You notice that with a lot of games. Games that go for realistic graphics look like fucking shit these days. But the games with stylized, almost sometimes cartoony, not necessarily cartoony, but stylized graphics don't age. Like,
yeah.
Realism ages. Like, it's like comparing Mario 64 to Turok 64. You know, Mario 64...
Mario is supposed to be cartoony, though.
Mario looks good. Mario 64 looks good to this day.
People...
Turok 64
if people
look
like
shit.
They do in Turok, we'd all be walking around with block-ass heads and block-ass arms. My hand would be separate from my arm.
Yes.
And my fingers wouldn't extend past each other. They'd just be one solid lump.
Yes.
Of a block.
Whereas in Mario, we'd just be all wearing gloves.
Yeah. It's me, Lothario. I go to sleep now.
But yeah, what this game boasts compared to the old one is a more involved storyline. And it has some pretty well actors. Elijah Wood with Spyro, and he does a damn good job.
Oh, Elijah Wood Spyro.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
I'm
actually, a little side note, I've become quite a big fan of Elijah Wood because... He is apparently a big purveyor of horror, and he's like getting some major moves made in the horror movie industry.
Gary Oldman was Ignatius. Gary Oldman is Ignatius. He's a full-grown dragon that's kind of Spyro's mentor.
Dude, I kind of want to play this now, because Gary Oldman's one of my favorite actors as well.
Now for the down note, David Spade plays Sparks. Now, I am much against David Spade. I like.
Do you see
the...
fucking Joe Dirt as a dragon?
Exactly.
God. Damn it.
David Spade's hit or miss. A lot of some stuff he's done is funny.
Tommy Boy is funny.
Yeah. To give you the short example of horrible voice acting from David Spade in this game, here's
You
this.
Brought David Spade to the podcast?
I did.
Shit.
Here's the short version.
Let me out of here and fight me like a thing, whatever you are. You pathetic wretch.
I hope he was talking about his career.
Here's the longer version. Even in instances where his voice acting didn't suck, it just doesn't fit. And I can't really blame him for that so much as, you know, they knew who they were casting.
You blame casting.
Yeah. This is a long speech. You hear Elijah Wood, Gary Oldman, and David Spade talking here.
They? Well, who is they? And why did they come for me?
Because the prophecies spoke of a purple dragon. A dragon born only once every 10 generations. You.
You? Does that mean him? Wait, this guy Spyro some special once in a purple thing? I think you might mix that one up. Whoa, that's a little bit of a stretch. I've heard some doozies in my day, but that takes the cake.
Spyro, is it? Well, Spyro.
It's
that's a space peanut.
It's like throwing Joe Dirt into the middle of Lord
it
of the Rings.
Really is. Dude, I just seen a dragon with a mullet sitting there with, like, dirt stains on its face. He's like, it's dirt tape. Don't try to church it up, dirt. Yeah, Def Leppard sucks.
But God, yeah, that's the one and only complaint I can really make about the game.
Dude, that's the only complaint I need to hear. Like, David Spade, the ruiner of good comedy everywhere. Fuck.
But yeah, the story is your typical orphan to hero story. You know, Spyro was orphaned because the big bad guy is after the special orphan dragon thing. And he finds out, I'm not really born from dragonflies.
Wrong type of dragon altogether.
I'm 150 pounds. I wasn't born from this thing that weighs 3 ounces.
I'm purple and have spikes on my back and wings. What the fuck?
Spyro finds out, oh, maybe I'm not born from these people, and he sets out on his adventure. The combat pretty much it consists of breath attacks and horn attacks, which, you know, is Spyro. You can attack people with your horn and your tail, or you can just ram them straight out, or you can breathe them with fire. And the main strategy so far, haven't beat the game yet, but the main strategy so far is you light the enemies on fire while they're flailing relentlessly. You attack them with your basic attacks. Sometimes you launch them up in the air and you do combos on them. But it's pretty much set them on the fire, hit them while they're trying to put themselves out. You get
that's a good attack, because yeah. What other way to beat the shit out of somebody when they're on fire?
Yeah, exactly. There's multiple breath weapons. So far, I've only got the fire and the lightning breath. I know there's a couple more. The lightning versus the fire would set them on fire momentarily and they would beat themselves, put themselves out. Lightning, you can sit there and lightning breath them infinitely until you run out of breath energy, because they sit there and convulse while you're hitting them with lightning. But, you know, at the same time, you got limited amounts of energy to do that with. So it's a lot more energy resourceful to hit them once with a puff of fire than beat the shit out of them and sit there and hold them down with lightning.
Yeah.
So I imagine the other breath weapons are going to be similar. They're going to have, you know, basically it's going to be drawbacks and advantages like that. It's got a lot of puzzle elements to it. Like you would you'd have to get past a certain spot, and the only way to do it would be to knock down a certain pillar, which is like a domino effect that knocks down a door or something like that. A lot of the enemies in this game are baboons that look like the Witch Doctor from The Lion King.
They got pink and red asses.
Mm-hmm. I ain't like that really? Shit on fire. Burning that shit up. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that movie. I was like, kill it with fire.
That asshole's meant for torching.
I'd say downside to it, it has flying levels that they tried to make like Star Fox, but they didn't do a great job at it. So it was more or less me just like flailing around trying to not die the entire time and hoping the level ends. But they're minor asides to the rest of the game, so you don't have to put up with it a whole lot, so that's good.
Is there any like mini games and such in it? Like there's a couple other Spyro games. Yes. It's got some mini games.
I know the other Spyro games, you play as Sparks and, you know, different mini games. So far, that's the only one that I've encountered is the flying. Had a belch.
Very nice.
Another detriment I forgot about, it's prone to FPS slowdowns, frames per second. When there's a lot of particle effects on the screen, it is prone to slowing the fuck down. And it doesn't happen enough to break the game, but it does happen, and it sucks.
It's enough to affect you playing it, kind of.
Yeah, when shit blows the fuck up, or if you level up your fireball attack enough, that shit shoots out a lot of particles. It slows down the frame rate, and it just kind of sucks. It breaks the immersion a little bit. They didn't really make this game with the limitations of the PS2 in mind, it seemed like.
Was it a... I know it's random, but do you know, was it an earlier release on the PS2?
I don't know. I didn't. It was the first Spyro game on the PS2, so it could have been earlier. As they remade this in three games. This is the first of the three.
I was gonna say, like, there were three original Spyros on PlayStation, right?
Yeah, and then the Legend of Spyro. This was the first of the next three. I think this is a new beginning. So yeah, not a whole lot more I can really say about it. I haven't gotten past maybe the halfway point of the game yet, but it's really good. I picked it down up at Vault for like $7. You can get it cheap. It's worth every fucking penny of it if you like Spyro. I really recommend it. If you're looking to get into Spyro, I'd say this is more approachable than the old Spyro games. So try it out first.
A little more user-friendly.
Yeah, try it out first. And then there's nothing wrong with picking up the original Spyro games either. They're not. It's not like like Earthbound Beginnings versus Earthbound, you know. It's not that drastic, but it is more approachable. There's more of a story to it. They didn't quite go with the punkish attitude that the original Spyro's game, because a lot of the old PlayStation games, they kind of went for that attitude.
Yeah, that was the attitude era.
Yeah,
of video gaming.
This one didn't quite
tood.
Even though all
these characters got tood,
it does boast a lot of the same kind of quirky humor that Spyro did, which unfortunately David Spade encompasses in this. But
I just imagine his dragon doesn't have much. You know,
well, he's a dragonfly, so.
Oh well, I just imagine he lives in a fucking shitty ass like Campbell's soup can somewhere. It's been halfway crushed the fuck in.
But yeah, and like I said, I think I mentioned this before, Spyro in this game is a teenager. In the original game, Spyro is very much a child. He was voiced by Tom Kenny in that game, SpongeBob.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He just got arrested for a DUI.
Did he?
Yeah. I seen that like a couple weeks ago. And I just... Dude, if you were the cop, pulled him over... Dude... I was the cop, pulled him over, and he did SpongeBob voice. I pulled him over, and I'd be like, I'm going to follow you home and make sure you don't kill anybody, SpongeBob. It's okay. That's not
right. Swerve around the road and act like you're learning, getting your boating license. Like, yeah.
Pretend Squidward's blowing you right now. Pretend you're delivering Krusty Krab's pizza. Yeah, I would.
I've got
that.
Too much of them shows memorized now because of my children.
Yeah, I like SpongeBob.
The old ones are.
You can't fucking
funny.
Help it. Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I even watched the new movie here recently, and I was actually kind of like.
Was it bad? It wasn't as good as the old movie with David Hasselhoff.
That's amazing. I took my little brother to the theater to see that shit. When they were riding him like a fucking yes. speedboat, I was like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, we went and saw the new one in theaters, and it was okay. But, yeah.
Real little random side note. Paramount is making a Nicktoons movie where the whole, like, Hey Arnold, Rugrats, Doug, everything's going to be in the same universe.
Huh.
And I'm kind of fucking excited about that.
Huh.
I just wish it would be live action and cartoon, and they would just take the original people that are, like, 40 now from all that. And put them on there. I would be fucking happy with that. A little random Nickelodeon kid moment for you. The fucking French guy in the bathtub.
I just always imagined that Skeeter from Doug like committed suicide. Like he was just suffering from extreme depression.
Bye-bye, Doug. Honk, honk.
Yeah. How you doing today, Skeeter? Honk, honk. Not too well. I just got diagnosed with bipolar. Honk, honk.
I always wanted to fuck Patty Mayonnaise, Doug, but you wouldn't let me. Honk, honk.
What is that? You wouldn't love me, honk, honk. Probably because you fucking say honk, honk all the time.
I got that new Kurt Cobain shotgun. I'm going to make you honk, honk when I get home. Fucking terrible. Nicktoons have taken a turn for the darkness.
Tommy Pickles has become like a prison badass. Always been locked in that pen. He shanks some like one of the toddlers with a screwdriver. Just
a yellow handled screwdriver. They just call
him, take my fucking reptar.
They just call him Tommy the Pickle now.
Don't you fuck with him, you'll get pickled.
Fucking. Phil and Lil are having to, like, do sex trades for their lesbian mother.
They're out giving handies for mud pies.
We'll eat all the earthworms you can give us because we're starving to death. That's terrible.
That needs to happen, though.
It does. Grown-up-ass Nicktoons.
I thought they were doing something similar with Bill and Ted.
There's a Bill and Ted 3 in the works. And
from what I read, it's going to have... Keanu and I can't ever remember the other guy's name. Bill
Alex Winner.
Yeah, and they're supposedly it's going to be them in their 40s at the current age.
Meeting the younger Bill and Ted.
Yeah, and they haven't done shit in their lives. Like, in the original Bill and Ted's, they were the saviors of the world and all this shit. And, like, for some reason...
They didn't do shit.
Yeah, they haven't done shit in their life. They're just like working at the 7-Eleven or whatever.
I would love to see a Bill and Ted
3. Yeah, especially since I think Keanu and, like, the other guy, they're supposed to be, like, the major, like, directors and, you know... Yeah,
well, the... which one was Bill and which one was Ted?
Ted was Keanu.
Okay, well, Bill Preston, Alex Winter, he's the one writing the script for the new one. Like, he's the driving force behind... He just actually put a documentary out that was really good about Deep Web.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's actually pretty good.
That was one of the few things that became good
about... Don't play Bill and Ted the video game.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
From that becoming kind of obscure, I guess they got the rights to it fairly cheap, so we can see a good sequel to it versus like a typical Hollywood, let's just remake the old one with CG.
I ain't gonna lie though, dude. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is pretty badass too.
Oh yeah.
My favorite parts when at the beginning were like the dude from Faith No More sat there and Death walks out and he's just like, what a shithead. Or the bad guy walks out and he's like, what a shithead.
Oh, yeah. I think I like Bogus Journey better than the original.
I do, too. Fucking weird. I had this conversation like a week ago.
Because I really love the Trip Through Hell playing
Death. Damn! Best 3 out of 5.
Yeah, playing Death and board games like Twister and shit.
Sorry.
And the fucking robots that they made with that alien dude, they're just made out of like PVC pipes and shit.
Like bullshit.
And they just go push the heads off the robot doctors.
Dude, they go save the babes.
Yeah, they do. Really? Fuck yeah. And then they play that time mind game with the bad guy. It's like, oh, well, I hid this key in my pocket.
Dude, that makes me want to watch Bill and Ted so bad right now.
Those are amazing. I'm so glad that something's going to happen. Like a good
something's going to happen. The only thing that sucks is George Carlin won't get to be a part of it. But they said they were going to pay a major... homage, you know, George Carlin. I'm like, you have to. Rufus, man. Like, you got to pay tribute to Rufus. You wouldn't have fucking had that excellent journey through time if it weren't for Rufus.
Exactly. Another thing I love about Carlin, besides his stand-up and shit, but he played that, you know, Bill and Ted. I loved Bill and Ted as a kid. And then, especially my stepson, he watched Thomas the Tank Engine a lot when he was
a kid. Oh, yeah, dude, the conductor, man.
George Carlin was the narrator. And a lot of those. And I was just...
Conductor.
Yeah.
Wrong thing.
Narrator.
Excuse me. Dude, George Carlin was... He was amazing.
Yeah.
The Thinking Man's comic.
But yeah, what's your game of the week? Video games. We're talking about video games.
Dude, it's okay, man. It's okay. Yeah. We're all about pop culture, so... Video games is a blip in that. It encompasses... My game of the week, though, is it's an older one. One of my favorites. I recently picked it up from Vault Games. Go see them. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time for SNES.
Nice.
Dude, I have a box copy of TMNT 1 and 2. I have a loose TMNT 3. I didn't have the fourth one, and they had it in. So... made it possible now on it. One of the greatest beat 'em ups on the SNES, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's it was Turtles in Time actually came. It was an arcade game first.
Yeah.
They ported it though to SNES only, and made it Turtles 4. You know, to go in conjunction with 1, 2, and 3 Turtles. The Manhattan Project. That was the third one. They released it, they re-released it actually as Turtles in Time Reshelled on Xbox Live Arcade at one point. It was like a 3D remake.
That. Yeah.
I
almost bought that.
I don't know, but I haven't played Reshelled, but I brought Turtles in Time home and I beat it and, god damn it, it's so good. Classic beat 'em up, and dude, the graphics on Super Nintendo. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It just like the cartoon. They're spot on.
There's a lot of games in that 16-bit era that mirrored the cartoon so well.
Oh, man.
I fucking loved it. I still love it.
Oh, yeah, dude. I still opt for 16-bit graphics a lot of time over you know, shit that comes out now. Like, oh, with 16-bit, you still feel like you're actually playing a fucking video game. You
feel 16-bit like you're reading a novel. Out of all the eras, 16-bit's my favorite. You know,
those beautiful, like, sprite graphics, man. Like, just, oh.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Make your old wiener
and I like it better than modern sprite graphics, where they can go full HD. Because I mean that's definitely cool. You're playing like HD works of art, but it doesn't feel like a video game. I'm playing like a drawing or something.
Of course, with this one, you can be Leonardo, Michelangelo, Dantel, Raph.
Dantelo with that reach, bro.
Dude, Raph. That double side attack, man. The SNES version has an exclusive level to it, but that's one of the first games to like utilize the mode 7 for like just random shit. There's an attack you can do with each turtle in the game where if you kind of just like quickly tap the attack button, you grab the foot soldier and actually fling them toward the screen.
Oh yeah.
Which, actually, the Shredder level that's exclusive to SNES later on, that's how you damage Shredder. He sends out a barrage of fucking foot soldiers on you, and you throw the foot soldiers. It's a weird perspective you're playing, kind of like on Battletoads, where you have to throw the ball toward the screen on Battletoads. It's the same premise. You know, like, Shredder's in front of you, operating this machine, and you're on the outside, but it's like, you know, set up like the side-scrolling level.
Yeah.
You attack the foot soldiers and throw them toward Shredder, and that's how you damage him in that boss battle. There's certain button combination shit you can do, like if you double right and hold it down, you can make your turtle run, and if a bunch of enemies come out of the screen on the other side, you can run and, like, hit the attack button and do, like, a dash into them. Mm-hmm. Like an open and attack. I mean, well, you've played this.
Yeah. But we're describing for the listeners. So.
Yeah, I know. You can do all that.
And a lot of beat 'em ups, that's what I primarily do a lot, because when you get swarmed, the best thing you can do is run around and knock everyone down as much as possible until some of them die.
Well, you can hit like A and B together too, and you got the same, like a super powerful attack that you use that causes damage to you.
Yep. That's a staple in beat 'em
ups. So it's only to use in a certain instance.
Yeah, you're like, I'm surrounded. I can take some damage and kill some people, or I can take a lot of damage trying to beat them up. And a lot of times it's better to just use your special.
Now,
did the special kill you? Because a lot of beat em ups
use it. It can. Okay. I do believe
there's a lot of them that will take you down to a sliver of health.
I didn't use it to the point where I got low health just for fear of dying, but I do know, like, on Manhattan Project Ninja Turtles 3, it will kill you if you use it. I'm not sure about this one, but it is possible. The cool thing about this is, like, just the sheer stretch of environment you're in, because it's Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
So, like, the first four levels, it's your basic Ninja Turtles bullshit. Like, the first level, you're on the streets.
Was it New York, or was it a fictional place? It's New York.
Yeah, it's New York. Krang steals the Statue of Liberty, or he steals something. He may steal fucking, I get him confused, because Manhattan Project come out on Sega Genesis the same year, and it's almost a carbon copy of Turtles in Time, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's same, you know, same engine and all that bullshit, and they steal something similar. Krang steals some shit, though, and they use the Technodrome. Like, the first three levels, the first levels you're on the street, second levels you're in the sewer. Or maybe that's the third. Fuck, I can't remember. You're on the street a couple levels, and there's a sewer surfing level where you're on, like, a fucking surfboard
streaming through the sewers.
Yeah, surfing some scat. Scat surfing. And you dodge shit. You fight the Rat King in the sewer.
You gotta dodge condoms that are like bananas in Mario Kart.
Sins of former fun knots floating in the sewer. Well, you do all that, and the fourth level is the Technodrome. You find the Technodrome in the sewer. You go in there, and you actually fight... One cool thing I noticed about Turtles in Time, you fight Tonka and Razor from Ninja Turtles 2. The turtle and wolf that's been mutated.
Yeah.
And all that shit. When you defeat them, Shredder's like, oh, ha, 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 I banish you to a time warp from which you'll never escape. And he fucking does that. Which is a funny side note. We were talking about voice acting a little bit earlier. Shredder comes on all these TVs when you're in a techno drone and goes, ha, ha, ha. And it is the fucking exact, ha, 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 from Ganon on Zelda 2.
I imagine that it's probably cheaper for them to buy that sound clip than to make on the NES, because sound emulation was not an easy thing.
It's just
voice emulation was not an easy thing.
It was just kind of funny, because I just imagine the same guy that acted as Shredder is also Ganon. I'm like, oh, you're twice as evil, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But,
maybe Shredder is Ganon.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fan theory started.
Yeah.
One of the cool things, though, you go back in time, of course. The first level you encounter is a dinosaur level. You have, like, fucking pterodactyls dropping foot soldiers and shit on you.
And that's like, awesome.
Randomly, the screen will start shaking. You know how, in, like, Sunset Riders, when the cows and horses run by the screen, it'll do that, but it's dinosaurs running through. And the second time it shakes and runs through, there's, like, foot soldiers riding on the back of dinosaurs. Which is cool as shit, because if you're in the way of the dinosaur, of course it'll injure you.
Yeah.
But if you got a fucking shit ton of foot soldiers on you, you can lure them up toward the middle of the screen, and when that shit comes through, it'll just clear them out.
Yeah.
Kind of like hitting the barrel or the stack of TNT.
It would only be cooler if Nazis were riding dinosaurs.
No shit. Like, I would love to see Ninja Turtles killing Nazis.
I can't wait to see Iron Skies 2.
I don't know. Isn't Sarah Palin in that movie?
Well, not Sarah Palin.
Well, yeah, her.
She was in one.
It's Lara Palin.
She was in the first one, too. So.
I didn't watch the first one.
Oh, man, you got to.
Do I?
Yes.
I just wonder if it was kind of too stupid for me.
It was awesome.
Okay. Well, you said it's awesome. I'll believe that.
It was awesome. I watched it expecting something just horrible, and it was amazing. Like, even the production value of it was amazing.
I'll watch it then. I have full confidence in your opinion. Since we're kind of talking about movies again, have you seen Turbo Kid?
I still need to. I haven't yet. I've heard great things.
I give it a big two thumbs up. It's really fucking good.
It's one of the things someone talks about. Like, oh, fuck, I meant to watch that. But when I'm at home, I'm like, this has never crossed my mind.
It's really good. Anywho, you fight through the dinosaur level and all that bullshit. The second level after that is... Shit, I'm trying to think. Dinosaurs, pirate ship. One of the most fucking annoying levels in the game history. You're on a pirate ship, of course. There are certain planks when you walk across the ship. If you step on the wrong spot, the plank stands up and hits you in the face.
Yeah.
And they're all over the ship. Meanwhile, a cat meowed. Meanwhile, you're dodging fucking,
Sniff his butt, Roscoe. Well, I just pelted it with a pen.
Well, she that needs was epic. She need to leave. We can't have her meowing while I'm trying to describe Ninja Turtles.
Roscoe's going to sniff the fuck out of her butt.
He wants to eat her ass, but she won't let him. My dog is a horny son of a bitch. Feel bad for him.
He likes buttholes.
He does.
And crotches.
He's your typical dog.
Yeah.
Okay, side note too, I was right. Krang steals the Statue of Liberty. So good. But you get through the pirate ship, and at the end of the pirate ship, you get to find a pirate, Bebop and Rocksteady, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
At the end of the dinosaur level, you fight Slash the turtle, which is a pain in the dick, because he is really fast. You have to make him turn backwards to attack him. It's kind of frustrating. It ain't so bad once you figure the pattern out, but it's aggravating. Then after you leave the pirate level, you go to the cowboy level and fight in the Old West kind of deal.
There's a fetal channel level, isn't there? There's got to be because of the movie.
Mm-mm.
There's not?
Uh-uh. We're not going to talk about Ninja Turtles 3, the movie, at all. Okay. I watched that movie here recently, and I was just like, no wonder my grandpa was mad for paying to get me in this movie. Because it sucks some donkey dick.
I miss the animatronic turtles, though.
I do, too.
I don't like the bro turtles now.
I'm going to go see the new one just simply for the fact that Bebop and Rocksteady and Krang are all in it. Like, they're obviously trying to emulate the cartoon, but I agree 100% with you. I don't enjoy the bra turtles. They're probably going to be vaping in the new one.
I got this new pizza-flavored vape, bruh.
Yeah, man, it's that pepperoni, bro. I got them four coals at 400 fucking...
3 ohms, bro.
Yeah, 3 ohms. Shit, you can hear it go... When I fire it up a mile away, bro. Come on, bro. Hey, man, you'll hang out and wear some fucking...
You know that stain that'd be coming out?
You
want to
wear
out?
Some Affliction shirts, bro?
You know that'd be coming out the manhole covers, bro? That's me, bro.
Yeah. Wise man say, don't pay for late pizza, but wise man also say, I'm going to vape it all day, bro. Fuck you, Michelangelo, you hipster fuck.
No smoking. Does that mean vape it the fuck up?
I think that's what that does mean, Brandon.
I fucking hate those people.
Bend the rules a little bit. Live a little.
I'm such a rebel. I'm vaping in the no smoking area. Look at me. I'm such a badass.
Vape my asshole.
I mean, I'm cool with vaping. Just that shit pisses me off.
I have a vape. Yeah, that's how I am. I have a pen vape. And
I got my wife one, and I use it sometimes. I mean,
that's cool. It's a nicotine delivery. It's better than smoking a cigarette. But I agree with you on the fact of like these fuckers that's like, oh, no smoking. Well, I'm not smoking. I'm like, you're still putting off something that other people can breathe. So don't be a dick about it.
Yeah. It's just fucking courtesy.
Yeah. Just don't be a dick. After the West level, you get to truly see SNES's Mode 7 graphics and display. It's called... The level's called Neon Riders, I think. Anyway, it's in the future.
Sounds like a 70s like song, like a rock song.
Neon Riders going off into the neon. But you're on a fucking
shining brighter and brighter. Moving to the beat.
You're on a fucking hoverboard, and you're riding forward. It looks like F-Zero, but with a Ninja Turtle standing on a hoverboard instead of an F-Zero race car. And you fight your way to New York in 2020, which is obviously futuristic as fuck. At that
everyone
point in time.
Had hover cars and shit, probably.
That game came out in 92, so that was fucking 30 years from...
Yeah.
28 years from then. So maybe we'll have hover cars in, I don't know, 4 years.
We will. All of technology is going to revolutionize. One weird trick that Big Oil doesn't like. I don't know. There's always shit on the internet like that. This mother discovers one weird trick that Big Farmer doesn't like.
Click here for more.
Doctors hate her.
Click here to see why.
She cured her husband's prostate cancer with an
with
avocado.
With goat's milk.
With an avocado. Go to davidavocadowolf.com to find out more. Buy my snake oil.
Got heart problems? Fuck it. Eat all you want as long as you use this goat cream. It's made of esper of goat.
All organic and natural, because everything that's natural is good for you. Such as lava.
Yeah.
And arsenic.
Arsenic cures all diseases.
It's natural. Now, you don't want man-made or GMO arsenic. That's bad. But natural arsenic? Natural arsenic's the shit, man.
Do you a little nice and eat a little arsenic? You're down
God
to
damn
no
it,
time.
I hate pseudoscience and hippies. Fuck those fucking fucks. Fuck nature. Nature has done nothing but try to fucking kill humans since humans have been a fucking thing. Let's fucking kill nature. Let's make nature our fucking bitch. You know, global warming? I'm fucking tired of winter. I'm tired of having cold feet. Let's just pour all the carbon monoxide we can into the goddamn atmosphere and get rid of fucking winter. Fuck winter. I want summer all goddamn year.
Let's just get rid of mankind.
Fuck it.
Why not that? That's end all be all. Fuck it.
Let's do it. But first, let's get rid of nature, because fuck nature.
Let me
fuck the oceans. People, there's plastic in the oceans. Fuck the oceans. What good comes from the oceans? Nothing.
Usually, if you ever watch a Godzilla movie, you usually know bad shit comes from the ocean.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's keep Godzilla held down there by fucking six-pack plastic. I just see Godzilla.
He's all wrapped up like those fucking turtles and swans.
Yeah.
You see him like in six-pack. He's just like, ah,
goddamn humans.
He's like, you know that ocean of fucking garbage that's out, the island of garbage that's out in the ocean? He's like just miraculously floating that. He's even trying to gamma blast it, and he's just like making these huge melted wads of plastic that are like falling down.
Yeah, fuck nature. Let's fuck up this planet and then fuck up the next planet. Let's get space travel. We'll fuck up all the planets. There's plenty of them out there. It's fucking
endless.
Yeah, there's enough of them. Let's fuck them all up.
Let's be the people that they make movies about. Like, let's be the aliens that just made, like, hell, you're here for peace? We're here to shit on your day.
Fuck nature. Nature is fucking worms that blind children and mosquitoes carrying deadly fucking diseases. Fuck it. I'm tired of nature. We're human fucking beings. Nature is just a bunch of dumb fucking shit. We're better than that. Fuck it.
Rage Ran is back. Pretty much, I'm just going to close out Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles.
You fight Krang, and you fight Krang again in his Krang outfit, like the humanoid suit, and then you fight Super Shredder. And
you know, Ninja Turtles is another...
Super Shredder is the end boss, and the easiest boss in the entire game.
Really?
You wait on him to attack. He faces a definite way when he attacks. Wait on him to attack, walk up behind him and attack him.
Oh, nice.
All you do. Easy.
Ninja Turtles is another big, hefty load in nature's eye.
That ooze, man.
Yeah, man.
Squeezing that ooze up in your face.
Turtles are fucking dumb and lame. Ninja Turtles, though, fucking amazing. That's a lesson. We need to do more of that shit.
That's how evolution needs to be.
Yeah. Seriously. I want fucking Ninja Turtles running around fucking shanking animals and shit. Fuck regular turtles.
Fucking... Teenage Mutant gangbanging motherfucking turtles.
Well, I can see the headline now.
You know, like, Leonardo is a fucking... He's a Crip, because he's got a blue bandana. Raph's a Blood. Michelangelo is like a fucking shitty redneck folk. I guess. Is that a gang still?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about gangs. I know they're all fucking retarded. But, stupid. Excuse me. Stupid. But, anywho, that's it.
I can see the headline for 2050. Homicide rates are up among teenage turtles.
Now, instead of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's like Teenage Mutant Unemployed Turtles. We're all drawing our checks right now. We're out of work. We done kicked all the bad people's asses. Now we're just drawing our checks.
Middle-aged mutant Wall Street turtles. Like,
I seen Mad Magazine did a claim one time that was middle-aged mutant adult turtles, and it was all the Ninja Turtles, like, home from work, where, like, they're fucking, you know, like, Leonardo was holding his hard hat above his chest, and they all had their, like, janitor hats held, and it's like, everything was fine until... Splinter's cancer come out of remission, and now he ain't gonna make it. They're all standing around like Splinter dead man. He's all like dried up from cancer. It's fucking terrible, but it's goddamn hilarious at the same time.
I should have bought that miracle cure from David Avocado Wolf.
He says something about it. He's like, we can only pay for his medical bills. We had bought so much goddamn pizza. Something like that. It's ridiculous.
Michelangelo has congestive heart failure because of all the pizza he ate.
That and all the cocaine he did.
Raphael has diabetes.
He lost his sigh in his ass. Now he's just like, damn. Leonardo, actually, Donatello would probably be the only one to make it. I know he'd probably die of an asthma attack because he's like the nerdy one. So, well, that's good for our topic. I think it's time for Brandon to get a little sexy with us.
Time to get...
Oh.
Mm. Time to get hot and steamy.
Steamy. Spit my ass.
Wow, we're getting in some dark places here.
Literally. the sun don't shine there.
Just so everybody knows, we're also a comedy podcast. So yep. We're here to make you laugh.
Tonight's Hot and Steamy. For those who don't know, I always like to give a little background here. Segments.
Indeed.
Hot and Steamy is one man's quest to play all of his games in his Steam library before he buys any new ones, which includes ones in the Lunar Steam Sale. God damn it.
Brandon has so many games it would make you hate yourself.
Yeah, it makes me hate myself because I spent that much money in games I haven't played yet.
It's okay.
I kind of feel like a dumbass, but you know what?
I got some stacks my losses, of games. Dude, I got stacks of games on my shelves that I'm like, oh, I need that for collection. Haven't been popped into a console once.
But you know what? My loss is y'all's gain. So y'all get to hear about it now.
True that.
Tonight's Hot. Whoa! Yeah, that beer finally came out. Tonight's Hot and Steamy is one that I actually got on the Humble Bundle, I believe. Regularly comes on there for dirt fucking cheap with it in a bundle with other shit. But it's Cthulhu Saves the World.
Oh, Cthulhu!
This looks like it was made in RPG Maker. I would not be surprised if it actually was. It is a, as mentioned, an RPG. It's very comedic.
Nice.
It's done in it's a mix of 8-bit and 16-bit. Like, the cinematic type stuff has, like, 16-bit looking sprites. But the overworld is very reminiscent of 8-bit Final Fantasy I. But the story is basically that, you know, the typical Cthulhu story, it starts all very, like, true to Lovecraftian, you know, Cthulhu slumbers in the city of Rilyeh, and when the stars are out, he'll rise and destroy the world. Well, the stars become right, Cthulhu rises, and some mysterious plot device of a mysterious stranger is like, nope, I'll take your powers. And the only way you can get them back is by becoming a true hero. So Cthulhu's quest is now... becoming a true hero.
Instead of destroying the world, you gotta save it.
Yeah, he's gonna become a true hero so he can get his powers back and destroy the world. So he's gotta save the world to destroy the world.
Fair enough.
The game goes, I would say almost Deadpool in a way, because it breaks the third wall. You know, Deadpool knew he was in the comic.
Yeah, he would talk to the fucking reader constantly.
And while the game starts off narrating this shit to you, and then all of a sudden Cthulhu breaks in and he says, "Mwahaha, foolish narrator, while you're busy explaining the situation to the player, I was eavesdropping. Now I too know the way to regain my power." And regularly as the narrator says shit, he interjects and like, they kind of squab a little bit. So it's really, really quirky and funny humor. Really early on, you save this anime, really cliche anime chick named Umi. And she, like, it shows Cthulhu as a horrible monster. Then it shows it from her view. And he is, like, this heroic, like, muscled up, just the badass.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's wearing a kilt. And he has this glorious fucking sword. And he just looks like such a badass, and that's how she sees him. And she's in love with him. She's like, "Are we dating now?" And all this. And she's joins your party. And I remember, she asks, "Does this mean we're dating?" And he says, "We strictly have a rock star and groupie relationship."
Like, that's what I'm talking about.
The game. Contrary to these old RPGs, this game you can save anywhere, and it makes it a point. Like, you come across save points, and it's like, yeah, you can save here, but you can also save anywhere. So
that's ingenious, though.
That's
nice throwing that in just for the simple fills of an ancient RPG.
Yep. It plays a lot like Dragon Quest and Earthbound in that it's that first person view in battle, where you don't see your own heroes, but you see the enemies. And it's menu-based combat, so you can choose attack, magic, technique, items, shit like that. The game is not very difficult so far. I did die a few times, and when you die, you got the option to immediately retry the battle or quit and go back to your last save. So the difficulty factor is not there. Which, you know,
technically, if you got to a boss that was way too high for you, that would be the point where you can be like, well, I can go back and grind a little bit.
Yeah, and this. Another thing is, every dungeon has random encounters, but it's limited to 25 random encounters. You can go and enable further random encounters if you want to, but after 25, nothing. So, in a way, it lets you fully explore dungeons without dealing with the nuisance of random encounters constantly. Especially when you get to the point where they're nothing, and they're just the time sink. You know, at that point, you've fought all you need to fight, and why the fuck waste your time with more? So that's pretty cool. The combat goes a little more in depth than your typical Dragon Quest Earthboundish type combat goes. Every single turn, the monsters get stronger. They start off at 100% strength, then they go to 110, then 120, 130. So the longer you let them live, the stronger they get. Which makes it where you want to eliminate the weakest monsters first, because they'll get stronger faster. So you really want to divide your attacks amongst your party to destroy as many monsters as possible to get their increasing strength off of the board. Not only that, but you can drive monsters insane. And insane monsters, some of them are more powerful, but most of them aren't. But insane monsters take more damage. So it's kind of a risk versus reward there. You risk turning the monster more powerful, but you can also deal more damage. There's also a combo multiplier. Basically, the more times you hit monsters, you see a multiplier on the side that says combo times 1 times 2. And every time you land a hit, it goes up. And there's finishers that kind of cash in that combo multiplier to do a lot more damage. So, like, Cthulhu has one, I think it's called Deadly Blow or Lethal Blow or something, and it's based strictly on the combo multiplier. So if you have a times 10 multiplier, it might do a shit ton of damage. But if you use it, your multiplier resets to 0.
That's kind of cool.
And the whole story so far has been, it's very, it's satire of typical RPG tropes, I would say, and it's awesome because of that. Early in the story, you encounter three like really cliche heroes. It consists of a cleric, a knight, and a thief, and they talk all this cliche hero stuff in a very comedic manner. And Cthulhu, he asks the narrator, he says, "You're a narrator. Do I get hero points for beating up annoying heroes?" Narrator says, "No." He says, "Well, I'm going to beat them to a pulp anyways." And you proceed to beat the shit out of them.
True Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hero, but I still fucking hate humanity.
Yeah, yeah. He's becoming a hero to destroy humanity. I love that little twist to it.
Well, fuck yeah.
And,
it's still Cthulhu. Like, you don't want him to be too fucking PC.
Yeah. And after you beat them, Umi, the anime chick you save, she says, "I hope they're okay." Cthulhu says, "They're adventurers. I wouldn't worry about it. They probably already respawned at the nearest church."
My dog responded to the nearest church. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I did. I haven't beat this game yet. I haven't even got halfway in the story yet. So I don't want to say a whole lot and spoil things. Even though it's not like a game that really is dependent on that type of thing. Spoils they're not going to ruin it, but I don't want to.
It's not like you're ruining the next Zelda for somebody.
Yes.
Just ruined Star Wars, you motherfucker.
You can typically get this game for less than $1 bundled with other games.
Oh, shit.
So if you can get it, get it. Don't buy it by itself. Buy it with other games. The comedy is the selling point. It's not like so amazing of an RPG or story that you need to go out and buy it right now. But get it in a bundle or something. There's another game it comes with, I think, called Breath of Death, which is also kind of similar in that it's a comedic RPG.
I like the name of it.
Yeah.
Breath of Death's kind of cool. I know some people that had that issue.
Yeah, I know. I worked for some. And coincidentally, they're all close talkers. Like, they get right in your face and tell you something.
Dude, I went to a dentist that was like that.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. You'd be on his table, and he'd be leaning over real close, and do his breath smelt like a dead monkey laying in a fucking ditch.
I know exactly what that smells like.
I'm glad. Like, that was an accurate description. It was fucking rough.
I don't understand. I wouldn't go to that dentist.
I don't anymore. I went there for about a year, and when I finally got old enough to be like, I want this dentist, I didn't go back.
The dentist that understands dental hygiene.
Exactly. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it is, though. It's like, you know, doctors will be like, oh, well, your lung health is a big thing. You see them outside fucking choking down Marlboros. What the fuck is that?
I've had a doctor fired the maid come into the room and look at my charts and be like, well, you're obviously obese. I'm like, yes, so are you.
Like, what's your fucking excuse? Ugh. But, so, it's something to definitely pick up if you can get it for a right price.
Yeah, if you're, you know, get it in a bundle or something, and, do not pay more than 99 cents for the game by itself, but it's pretty cool. It's a decent little time sink. It's typical 16-bit / 8-bit RPG fare with a humor twist. The humor is the selling point of it. And it's funny because it plays off the typical tropes and, I guess, stereotypes of RPGs. So I would say that Cthulhu Saves the World is hot and steamy.
Nice. Very nice. Well, at this point in the show, we're going to move on to our responses for our question of the week last week.
Yeah. Let me pull up some of our responses.
I've got some of our shit saved right here as well. Our question was, what games do you find so frustrating that you force to walk away and take a break from gaming?
Yep.
That one game that really just pissed you off beyond belief. Before we answer our questions, what's a game that's pissed you off beyond belief, Brendan?
Well, I kind of said this before, but I'll say it again. Mario was one. Mario Kart is another. Mario Kart 64, to be specific.
Mario Party has put to the listener doesn't really know me and Brendan, Mario Party put many a motherfucking bloody hole in our hand back in the day. Playing just simply the tug of war game on Mario Party.
And we're not saying that it brought us bitches. We're saying that.
Yeah, it didn't bring no good blood. It brought like blood from our bodies. Looked like we all had stigmata after playing the fucking tug of war.
Yeah.
Holes in the middle of your hands.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts is another.
Ugh.
Super Star Wars.
I love Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
I love them both, but
fuck.
Yeah. So fucking difficult.
And the only good thing Super Ghouls and Ghosts has got going for it is like the Super Nintendo version added the double jump.
Oh yeah.
That's the only thing that can help you in that fucking game.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the games I would say that get me the most.
We'll want to answer some of the questions, I guess, then?
Yeah, Now that I've got older, I used to kind of get... I don't get angry at games anymore. At most, I'll just quit playing for a second.
I'll yell at shit, but I'll quit playing. Yeah. It's not like I get so mad, I just stop playing it.
On Google Plus, German the First Hunter, he says, well, my second favorite game is Dark Souls. We got another entry that said Dark Souls.
Indeed.
And I figured that was that's going to be a pretty common thing. Dark Souls. I've dabbled in Dark Souls. Those games weren't...
I haven't played it.
They're so unpolished to me.
And simply from that reason. I've heard people talk shit about how difficult they are, and then I've actually watched videos of the game, and I'm like, well, that game's difficult because it isn't complete.
Yeah. It's very unpolished. There's not a whole lot of info inside the game. Sure, you can min-max if you go on Reddit and on various forums and look up the latest strategies. But I don't like to do that. I like to just play my game.
You want
to
discover a game yourself. That's what immerses you in being in a video game.
Yeah,
is figuring out the world for yourself.
And you can do that, for sure. But it would take so much trial and error to figure out the differences between this attack and this class and that class. Some of them are so similar that you can't tell by reading text or anything.
Just like minute differences that
make
all.
Some of them you probably wouldn't even know unless you went online and read about it. So that's what's kept me out of those games, even though I own them.
Kyle Wayne on Facebook, one of my friends, Kyle Huckaba, actually, he said women.
True that.
True that. I respect that 100% because we've been there, and that is very perplexing.
Yes.
Lynn Green also said Call of Duty on veteran. And any of the Dark Souls, I can never get used to the way the game played.
Same.
So he kind of agrees.
They weren't polished. They were kind of clunky. Monster Hunter suffers a lot of the same. The barrier of entry, basically.
I bought Monster Hunter Tri on Wii back in the day.
And I got 3 Ultimate on Wii U, and I already got rid of it.
I didn't care for it.
I tried to like it the best I could, but
that was one of the times where I'm just like, Capcom, what have you done?
See,
I know a lot of people like that game, though, so I ain't going to talk
they're good games
too much shit about
it. If you can devote some time to get a PhD in the mechanics.
That's true.
See, Matt Hacksaw Sattler says Super Meat Boy. And I can see it. Super Meat Boy, to me, though, is also forgiving in the way you restart immediately. And you can just sit there just try over and over and over. There's no like going back 3 levels and having to try again or any of that.
Cloudberry Kingdom is that same
yes.
way. I have
yeah.
Cloudberry Kingdom.
They're very similar.
And I fucking hate that game. Mike McDaniel said, I got your name right that time, buddy. Said, I'm currently trying to beat Castlevania on NES without save states. And I will go ahead and give you hats off if you manage to do that, because that is quite a feat.
Oh, yeah.
I've beaten Castlevania before, but it come from using a Game Genie on NES, and then I have Castlevania on my 3DS now, and save states is everything. On
oh,
that.
Yes.
And he also says, I do fine until Frankenstein. That guy's a butthole.
He is quite the butthole.
He is a very buttholish. You can blame Boris Karloff for that.
Yeah, that's all our answers.
That's it.
We need some fucking questions for Zangief.
Zangief's kind of frustrated with us right now.
Yeah, because we worked out an agreement with him that he answers questions and he gets vodka. We haven't had any questions for him. Zangief hasn't got any vodka. He is not happy. He's threatening to bring all these other Street Fighters in and kick our asses.
Y'all gotta do something, because me and Brandon have been receiving emails from some of the random World Warriors, and they're not very fucking happy with us. They're not happy with any of you.
Give us some calls. 682-77.
Do we have that? Do we have that jingle?
Which one? The first one?
First one. We haven't plugged that in a long time. 682-77. Yeah, you heard it. Fucking call us.
Give us a call. Give us questions, comments. Give a question to Zangief, please. For our sakes. Give us a question to Zangief.
If you like us, you will do this, because I'm telling you, if Zangief beats the fuck out of us, we're not going to be able to record and give you a good
episode.
Y'all
seen the picture on Facebook.
It's out there.
We didn't draw that.
No, that is...
That's a death threat from Zangief.
That is... Catfish is going to die if you don't do something about it.
Yep.
So do it.
And we are catfish.
We are.
We got our next question of the week.
We do.
Our founding member, Josh Duncan, gave it to us last
Indeed.
Week.
Indeed. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you remembered that.
I wrote it down.
Good.
Let me find it real quick.
And now, page 2.
Yep. What is the game that you're best at, and what is your greatest accomplishment at it? So, you did something you think you're proud of in the game? Let us know.
Out of every game you've ever played, what's the proudest you've been of some shit you've done?
Yep. Let us know. Give us a call. Let us know. Tell us on Facebook. Tell us on Google+. Tell us on Twitter. Email us. Whatever you want to do. Email podcast at goodoldgamers.com. Facebook at goodoldgamerspodcast. Twitter at goodoldgamers.
Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher.
YouTube.
YouTube, iTunes. Tune in.
Reviews on iTunes. Please give us the reviews. That's, we need them desperately.
Yes.
Tell us whether we're awesome. Tell us whether we suck shit. Just tell us something.
You want to say how you disagree with me about how your organic fucking wheatgrass cured your cancer?
Maybe goat milk cured your fucking testicular cancer. Tell Brandon why he's fucking... Tell me why you're
tell
wrong.
Me to go fuck...
I think you're full of shit, too.
Yeah, tell me to go fuck myself. You know,
yeah.
Explain to me why you're...
Turn the tables for once.
Explain to me why your useless anecdote trumps all of science.
You know, honestly, if you don't call us and do something, something bad may happen. Maybe we should plug the other one because we ain't done that in a while neither. If you don't fucking call us, Satan's going to butt fuck everybody you know, and this is why.
For those of you who haven't called the show, a warning. If you do not call, you will awaken Satan, and infants shall fall from the sky. Bears will feast on the slow and the witless, vaginas will turn to stone. Serpents rise from the ground, fly into your sphincter and bite. Demons will travel back in time and rape your father. Hell, Satan! You've been warned.
You've been fucking warned.
It's
just
bad.
So you know.
Especially vaginas turning to stone, man.
Nobody's happy when vaginas turn to stone.
Nope.
Ever. Plug us, do all that shit. Like, listen, share, do all that.
Word of mouth, tell your friends.
Yeah, do somebody from Street Team.
Yep.
Do some good old DIY shit for us.
And hopefully we're gonna have a solid date for y'all on Game Fest soon. So as soon as we do, fucking plug it, share it, tell all your friends. But Game Fest is going to be fucking awesome this year.
Come play some games with us.
Some people definitely don't know what Game Fest is. It's me and Lyle's pet project to bring a small gaming convention, retro gaming convention, to Coleman.
We don't have any gaming convention solely in Alabama that we know of, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in Coleman. We're not in a major city, but the, like Brent said, it's pet project. We're wanting to start something now so we can bring you something bigger. And we want a movement to occur
and
in the state.
We did a small...
We cannot fucking do it without you.
We had a small Game Fest in 2015. It was a great,
very successful.
Great success. So that showed us that there's an interest to hear for it. With the small room that we had and what we had to go through, I think, you know, we can go bigger. Maybe eventually we'll move up to Huntsville or Birmingham, but right now we need to stick in Coleman and...
we need to get a foothold established.
Yep.
Completely. We can't do that without you. So,
and on that note, if you want to donate money, we can go ahead and give you a pass for it. Consoles, TVs, we're going to need these things because we're going to have lots of consoles hooked up, arcade cabs. If you can bring one, set up to play.
We'll make arrangements for you.
I mean,
for some, you're not going to come out empty-handed.
Right.
We don't have the most money in the world to pay shit, but we will make sure you're comfortable in your endeavor.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
You'll be getting free entry, all that kind of good shit, free tournament entries.
Free food.
Everyone had a real good time at the last one. We had our buddy TJ and his YouTube channel, NM Gamer. They set up some Oculus Rifts for everyone to try. That was really fun. We had some great tournaments, Smash Brothers tournaments, Mortal Kombat, Pokemon. All that shit's going to come back.
We had like a bunch of just free console gaming. People enjoyed it.
And our console game is going to be a lot better this next time, too.
Our vendor game's going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah.
That's hopefully vendor and arcade will be a bigger deal this year.
All of it's going to be bigger. I know that last time, almost all the consoles were yours. Now I've got around 20-something consoles
myself.
I'm so
proud of you. I am so fucking proud of you.
I went from zero consoles to a closet full of consoles.
And you got two things I'm going to end up getting from you at some point.
Well, the Master System and the Virtual Boy?
Precisely. I don't have them. I will own them at some point.
I'll definitely come off the Master System. I don't know about that Virtual Boy.
It is so bad. I've owned a Virtual Boy before. I've owned a Master System before, too. I'm not as pressing for the Virtual Boy as I am the Master System.
Well, that works out.
The main reason I want a Virtual Boy, though, is I have... Do you have Memorial Clash?
No, I don't.
Okay. I need to find it. I have Mario Clash somewhere packed up in my bullshit.
I've got Tolera Boxer and Rattle Arm.
I was going to let you have Mario Clash play, but now I'm uncertain where it is since I've moved.
But yeah, especially if you've got like a rare console like a Jaguar or something like that.
A Jaguar.
We will give you multiple tickets to let us use it for gameplay.
We do not have... there's a few consoles we don't have, and we'll post that later on, but Jaguar, name one.
I
would give my nut if somebody had a fucking TurboGrafx CD.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about buying a Japanese one and just getting all the shit we need to play American titles.
I've thought seriously about buying a Japanese like Turbo Duo, because you get one for about $200.
And just get the converter and you can play American cards. So.
Precisely.
And there's no region lock on the CD.
You can play anything on the CD. So anything like that would help us out greatly. We'd be mucho appreciative.
Yep. But I think that about wraps us up, don't it?
It does. It does. Check us out. Like, listen, share, do all that shit.
Yeah.
We'll be coming back with you next week with a Shenmue themed episode. And until then, game over, man.
Game over.
Like a thing, whatever you are, you pathetic wretch.